chapter 4. The Bible says in Amos chapter 4, "Hear this word, ye kine of Bashan, that are in the mountain of Samaria, which oppress the poor, which crush the needy, which say to their masters, Bring and let us drink. The Lord God hath sworn by his holiness, that lo, the day shall come upon you, that he will take you away with hooks, and your posterity with fish hooks. And ye shall go out at the breaches, every cow at that which is before her, and ye shall cast them into the palace, saith the Lord. Come to Bethel and transgress, at Gilgal multiply transgression, and bring your sacrifices every morning, and your tithes after 3 years, and offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven, and proclaim and publish the free offerings, for this liketh you, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord God. And I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities, and want of bread in all your places. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. And also I have withholden the rain from you, when there were yet 3 months to the harvest. And I caused it to rain upon one city, and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the piece that whereupon it rained not withered. So two or three cities wandered unto one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have smitten you with blasting and mildew, when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased. The palm worm devoured them. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword, and have taken away your horses, and I have made the stink of your camp to come up unto your nostrils. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and ye were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. For lo, he that formeth the mountains, and createth the wind, and declareth unto man what is his thought, that maketh the morning darkness, and treadeth upon the high places of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts, is his name." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this time we can open up your book and study it more and in more in depth each and every time, Lord. And I know we've been over this and over this and over this, but yet, Lord, there's something new maybe we can learn from it. And I just thank you for your words, and just help them to be glorified and magnified today. In Jesus' name, amen. So there's all kinds of phrases in there that you could use for the topic of the sermon. Probably one of them is, "Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord." It gets said over and over and over. But that's not my topic today. Today, and again, I know we just kind of talked about this in, whenever that was, with Dave. He just went through Amos. Today, my topic is, prepare to meet thy God. And people today tend to emphasize about being prepared. You know, we need to prepare for this, prepare for that. You know, I'm sure television is full of that. Be prepared for this. You know, we buy prepared food. We prepare ourselves for church. I couldn't even find my right belt today. I'm borrowing Jacob's belt today because I wasn't prepared enough. So we prepared for Y2K, okay? And I'm not saying that these are bad things. But have you done what this verse 12 says? Prepare to meet thy God. And I was planning this lesson a couple of weeks ago. And then Dave happened to be going through Amos, you know, and I don't like to just, you know, beat on a dead horse, as they say, but, you know, prepare to meet thy God. I'm sure there's some more things that we can learn in this. And then, you know, there was some innocent guy, just 43 years old. We all heard about it this week. You know, just doing the good neighbor thing. You know, my good neighbor was doing this for me too, but doing the good neighbor thing. And wham! Was he prepared to meet his God? It happened in a manner, as God says about the rapture, in a twinkling of the eye. It was just a split second. And this guy is face to face with his God. Was it the God of heaven? Or was it the God of this earth? Where was his heart? Matthew 6:21 says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." You know, and I did not know this guy. I didn't know him. And I'm surely not judging him because he could, and I hope he was saved. I heard he's visited the Han church over there, you know, just this, that, and the other. You know, so I pray that he was saved. I hope he was as saved as anybody in this room was. But if he was not, if he did not heed this warning that God has given to us in the past, in this book of Amos here, you know, and just as God is warning the Jews, and just as he is currently in this day and age, he warns us again and again and again. Two of life's basic appointments, and no, I don't mean death and taxes, which most of us understand that, two of the sure things in life, but this is two of life's basic appointments are death and then the judgment. Hebrews 9:27 says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Someday you will die. Someday I will die. We will all die. It is appointed unto men once to die, and just after that you will face God and be judged as to whether or not you're saved. God has made these appointments for us. You know, it's not, you know, me phoning up and saying, yeah, okay, next Thursday I've got some free time or you know what? Hey, give me an extra 15 years like some other guy in the Bible did. He prayed for that extra 15 years or extra time, and God gave him 15 years. But this isn't like that. God has made these appointments. And you can't cancel that appointment. God has made that appointment. And sometimes this verse makes me think of that guy on the Princess Bride movie. Maybe some of you haven't seen that, and it's, I don't know, kind of a stupid movie, but yet I saw it and I got a few chuckles out of it. But the guy who says, and I'm not sure what the guy calls his name, Inigo Montoya. I wrote it down, but I still can't say it. "My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die." Okay? And he actually, you know, this guy even is seen several times throughout the show. You know, he's like in the mirror, you know, "My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die." You know, and it's funny how Hollywood copies these things from the Bible. Prepare to meet thy God. You know, they'd use these statements from the Bible. But also, I think some of the cities in that movie, I can't remember them, but wasn't it Gilgal or something? It was so similar to Bible. Many of the city names in that movie were close to Bible names. Oh, and Jeremy, the guy had six fingers on his hand, didn't he? The bad guy. Oh, Jeremy was just talking about that. You know, there was actually something on the internet news recently about somebody that had that T-shirt on, the Inigo Montoya, you killed my father, prepare to die. But he's trying to get onto an airplane. Now, you know, prepare to die, and he's trying to get onto an airplane. Is he going to blow? I don't know what descent he was. I don't know if he was Arabic or whatever. I don't know. It doesn't matter. I wouldn't want to be getting on an airplane with a guy that's got that on his T-shirt. Okay? So it's like a veiled death threat. So is this. Prepare to meet thy God. God isn't necessarily saying in this verse that he's going to kill everybody. You know, it's not, you know, standing there with a machine gun, prepare to meet thy God. No, it's not. But it could be. It could be. It's like that veiled death threat like the guy wearing the T-shirt. I don't know. I don't know what he was. Actually, this verse is a very practical advice. It's a practical advice type of verse. This verse has good advice in it. And like we learned about the explosion this week, God can and does take people all of a sudden. He can take somebody just all of a sudden. But we'll study here a bit further, and God has not, and he does not, and he will not take us without warning us first, because those warnings are all around us right now. We have warnings. So before we get too carried away here, I'm going to get started. It's only a three-point message, not real long. And the first point is, you are a sinner. You are a sinner. Amos 4, 1 through 5. Hear this word, ye kine of Bashan that are in the mountains of Samaria, which oppress the poor, which crush the needy, which say to their masters, bring and let us drink. The Lord God hath sworn by his holiness that, lo, the days shall come upon you that he will take you away with hooks and your posterity with fish hooks. And ye shall go out at the breaches, every cow at that which is before her, and ye shall cast them into the palace. Come to Bethel and transgress. These are sins. Come to Bethel. Come to the church and sin. Again, we've talked about a lot of this, so I'm not going to harp on these points here or that. But these are sins. Come to Bethel and transgress. At Gilgal, multiply transgressions. And bring your sacrifices every morning and your tithes after 3 years. Well, how would our church operate if we brought our tithes every 3 years? That's a sin. These are talking about these sins. And offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven. Put some leaven in that cake and offer it to God. You know, offer God your second best. Offer God whatever you happen to have left over. No, these are sins it's talking about. And Amos 4:5, it says, for this liketh you, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord God. And again, I know this is all to Israel. That is Amos talking to the Israelites, northern tribe, southern tribe. And, you know, Dave went over a lot of that, so I'm not going to go over that now. But God is saying here that these people sin. And for this liketh you. They enjoyed their sins. Oppress the poor, crush the needy, let us drink the fish hooks. You know, these fish hooks, they're talking about fish hooks. You know, he's going to use these fish hooks. Paul, you know about my sister's big old antique refrigerator down there at Thayer. She's got a huge oak antique refrigerator, and it used to be a meat processing or a store. They got those old fish hooks in there. And I think that's what this is talking about, those big old hooks that would carry a whole piece of beef, and then they just slide it down or whatever. I think that's what this is talking about. He's going to put you up on a big old fish hook and use you like a big slab of meat. The fish hooks is what it's talking there. You know, and it talks about transgressing and multiply transgressions, tithe after 3 years. These are all sins, and yet they enjoy doing them. And again, I don't always understand the thing about, you know, there's a historical point of view, an application, and then an application to our life. But that is the case here. Historically, it applied to the people in Amos's day. But Romans chapter 1 informs us in verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. We got any of that going on today? Inventors of evil things? Man, there's all kinds of evil things being invented. Disobedient to parents. Now, we don't have any of that. Not in my family. Wow. No. I mean, do we have it? You know? Romans 1:31 goes on, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them to do them, that do them. So not only do you do it, but you enjoy being with others that do that. All right? These are sins committed by people after God has already begun to judge them and to warn them. And they have pleasure in them that do them. As it says in Romans there, and it says in Amos, for this liketh you. They have pleasure, they like it. You know, it's a similar application here, very similar. You may be unsaved and do these things and enjoy them. But if you are saved and you are doing these things and have pleasure in them that do them, are you heeding verse 12? Prepare to meet thy God. Some of you here, and even some of you young people here, have already begun to suffer the judgment of God without even realizing it. Just exactly like they did in Amos' time. And it says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means the people in Amos' day, and that means the people of today. That means all the people in between, too. So first, you are a sinner. You are a sinner. Second, You have been warned. You've all been warned. The people in Amos's day were warned over and over again, as it says in Amos 4, verses 6 through 11. And I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities and want of bread in all your places. They were warned by a drought. There was a drought. It was dry. Yet have ye not returned unto me. Yet have not ye returned unto me, saith the Lord. Amos 4, 7. Also, I have withholden the rain from you when there were yet 3 months to the harvest, and it caused it to rain upon one city and caused it to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the piece whereupon it rained not withered. Boy, we've seen that. So two or three cities wandered unto one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Again, they were warned about this, the lack of water. God's trying to get their attention. God's trying to get their attention. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Amos 4:9, I have smitten you with blasting and mildew when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased. The palmer worm devoured them. They were warned by the blight and the bugs. Boy, we had some bugs this year too, you know. Boy, that's nasty. And you know, we had trees just covered in the beginning of the summer, and it just ate up the whole birch tree. All the leaves were gone. And God did this on a nationwide scale to them, trying to get their attention. Well, those bugs got my attention, just one tree, or actually several trees, but just a little bit, and you see it. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Amos 4:10, I have sent among you the pestilence among the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword, and have taken away your horses, and have made the stink of your camp to come up unto your nostrils. They are warned by pestilence. God's trying to get their attention. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and ye were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. They were warned, like God warned Sodom and Gomorrah. And it says again, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. So today, verse 4, you know, and again, this was historically. But look at these. Look at these verses. Get, you know, cleanness of teeth. That's you know, again, lack of food or something like that. You know, we have this around the world. Lack of food, and yet we have the biggest, you know, crops in the, you know, ever, you know, but yet there's still lack of food in places and want of bread. That's just like it is today. Verse 8. So two or three cities wandered unto one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. You know what? We have small towns just kind of closing up left and right. You know, they just kind of wither away, and then one town just kind of merges with another town. That's happening as we speak. I mean, even though this was Amos's day, so that doesn't apply to anything today, but no, it still applies to us today. I have smitten you with blasting and mildew. When your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased, a palmer worm devoured them. You know that again, I know I talked to Ronnie Hoffman several times about the seed companies. Monsanto is the only one that popped to my mind. I think he says there's only like three major seed companies. Is that right, Marty? Two, three, something like that, the big ones. You know, God used the palmer worm back then. He uses Monsanto now. When God wants to shut off our food supply, how many of you got hybrid, or not hybrid, but what do you call them? Seed packed away. A little bit. But, you know, I probably have talked to you and I say, yeah, ooh, I got to do that. I got to be prepared. I got to prepare for that. But it's Amos's time. It's our time. Very similar. So who does even control the food? Verse 10, it says, I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with a sword and have taken away your horses. You know, I know police departments that take away people's cars left and right for a minor violation. Olympia Field, where I used to work, boy, if I was still there, I'm sure I'd be having a class action lawsuit against my own village. They're taking away people's cars. Oh, it's just a $500 fine to get it back. Oh, I'm sorry, horses. Oh, yeah, my car has how many horsepower? You know, boy, is this Amos or is it now? You know, you could actually take the R, make it a U. It could be our houses too. You know, they're taking away our houses as well. People are losing their houses left and right. It's very similar. In verse 11, I have overthrown some of you as Sodom overthrew, I'm sorry, as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Can you blame God today if he would destroy these wicked cities? You know, and you know, and almost anywhere you go, I don't know, you know maybe they should have a big contest to see which one is the wickedest. You know, I'm sure some churches try to figure that out. There's so many wicked, wicked cities. I wouldn't blame God for just destroying it. Who knows which is the worst? San Francisco, you know, Taiwan. I mean, you know, I hear some of these foreign countries are just terrible. I don't know. So even though these people of that day were warned, the Bible continues to say over and over, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. That is so much like it is today. You can be out telling people about their sins. You may tell them, oh, you know, you shouldn't be sinning. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do that. Yet have ye not returned unto me. You tell them about Jesus and they don't want to hear it. You know, oh, come on. No. Everything was fine up until that point. I don't want to hear it. You tell them that God sent the earthquake or the hurricane. How many politicians have taken a beating because they even mentioned that? Oh, you know, you can't say that. You know, where is their mind? You see that God is sending all this strange weather in diverse places, just like the Bible said he would, and that it is God warning us that we are transgressing just like they were in Amos's day, just like Amos was getting all those warnings, just like we are getting all those warnings. It says in Mark 13:8, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. You know, we had that earthquake that Kim was gone, I forget, but I was in bed, laying in bed, and it actually woke me up. It was actually in Illinois, 3 or 4 in the morning, boom, you know, I was like, man, that sounded like a train crash or something. Went back to sleep because I didn't know what it was, but boy, that's a diverse place, isn't it? Indiana or Illinois? Hey, wait a minute. And how many other diverse weather conditions have we had since then? Why? It's God's warning. Now, did I mention that God is warning us? Yeah, I think so. I believe I did. I think that's my second point there. We have taken God out of this country, and people do it for this liketh you, as God said. People do not want to hear about it. People do not want to prepare to meet their God. The great tragedy of your life is that each one of us in this room have experienced a number of incidents that have been hints or maybe a suggestion or maybe a warning of things to come. And perhaps it was a brush with death. Perhaps it's an illness or an auto accident or some other kind of accident or whatever. All right, here's another one. I need another raise of hands, all right? How many of you have ever had an incident and said something, just something to the effect of, boy, I thought I was going to die? All right, kids, there's more of them than you think. All right, so maybe I have mentioned that once or twice or 12 or 15 times to my kids. I've had some incidents in my life where I thought I was going to die. I just really did. So those stories are true. But now my kids, as they get a little older, they say, you know what? I've had a couple of those. Maybe just one or two or three or four, but they come. But I think that God has put these situations in our path. Perhaps you're just a witness to something. Maybe it didn't happen to you personally, but maybe you're just a witness to something that happened to somebody else. And in your mind, you knew that there was a lesson here for you. But you ignore the warning. You failed to learn the lesson. If this house explosion down the street didn't make you think, if this house explosion there, if anybody that drove by that, if that didn't make you think, prepare to meet thy God, there's something wrong with your heart. You are not prepared. You know, you need to take a little bit of a break here and take a look over your shoulder and what's happened to you in the past. What's happened to you in your life? Remind yourself of the things that you've maybe forgotten about by now, but that you do well to remember them. I remember a couple of incidences. One was I was coming back on I-65 back before we even lived out here. I was heading back to Palos Heights, and I drove up on an accident. No police. It just had happened. And everybody, I'm okay. Everybody's okay. I guess I was a policeman at the time. And I started looking around, and I said, what about these two dead people here? Boy, that hit home. Nobody had even seen them yet. It was stuck under the wheels of a truck, a little car, stuck under, there's two dead people. 20 seconds earlier? 20 seconds earlier, it could have been me under those wheels. That sure made me think. This is it could have been me idea. There's a lot of those too. that could have been us. But you know what, Kim and I, we those seven people that were killed on I-65 recently, we were 30 minutes behind that. You know, that, could it have been you? Could have been me? Could have been anybody in this room. It could have been anybody. Could have been when I was parachuting. I thought I could have died. Could have been the gun accident, this, that, the other. You know, there's all kinds of things. One time I was a little kid even. I was driving a go-kart on the street. And, oh, man, don't drive the go-karts on the street. How many times my parents told me. And I was down at the end of my street, there was a T, and I turned the T, and whack, a car hit me. And I was just a little kid, and I'm like, oh, my mom's going to kill me. You know, the person's freaking out because they just hit a kid on a go-kart. They didn't see me. I didn't see them. And yeah, I was okay. They just took off, and we all went home, and I don't know if my parents ever found out about it. If this is being taped, don't give it to my mom. But man, but you know, and I wasn't thinking too much like, oh, I could have been killed back then, because I really was pretty young. But now that I look back, sure, God could have taken me right then. Each one of you have your own incidents that God has used to remind you. How about it, John? Life flashes before your eyes. Each one of us has had this. What have you done with the warning? How have you responded to that brief reminder of your future appointment with God? Maybe the problem is that you haven't responded at all. Well, then you need to study God's word and get saved if you're not saved. That's the most important thing. Be prepared. Be prepared. I knew that had to come up, right? There was another movie. I don't even know the name of it. But a goat or something kept saying, be prepared, and there was a guy down at PBI that used to keep singing that, I can't even think of his name, Todd something, but anyway, he was here, he got married here, Millar, but anyway, so one time, he was in the church history, or no, he was in a Bible class, and Dr. Ruckman says, hey, does anybody have a church history book, and Todd's sitting on the front row, oh yeah, here it is. And Doc says, oh, man, now there's a guy that's prepared. And, of course, I'm in the back because Todd was the one always singing the song, so I'm in the back, be prepared, and, yeah, a bunch of laughs anyway. So I don't think Dr. Ruckman quite understood what was going on. But we need to be prepared. Romans 3:11 reminds us of the words here, there is none that seeketh after God. Well, wait a minute. We don't want to be like that. So my third point is you will meet God. You will meet God. Amos 4:12 says, therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. If you are not saved, you will meet God at the white throne judgment, and he will cast you into an everlasting lake of fire. Amos 5:4 says, "For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live." In the New Testament wise, it says, if you're not saved, accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and he will prepare you. He will prepare you to meet your God. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, "For he saith, I have heard thee on in a time accepted. In the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And if you are saved, have you prepared to meet thy God? You know, when we have company over, you know, when we have those picnics, we don't just sit back and, you know, wait for, you know, things will just all happen by themselves. Man, you know, we're scrubbing down, you know, oh, my mom is worse than me, man. She's like in there with toothbrushes, cleaning this, cleaning that. You know, she sweeps up, everybody, whoa, well, we got to, you know, we're having company, we got to clean up, we got to prepare. If you were preparing to meet your God, what would you do with your house? What if Jesus Christ was coming over to your house? What if Jesus Christ was coming in here today? What would you do with your life? Your kids. I remember a guy that said, oh yeah, at a different church, not this church. If the Lord came back today and walked in those doors, you know, I'd offer him a beer and just sit down and have a chat with him. I hope that's not how you're preparing to meet your God. I would fall down at his feet and worship him. But in preparation of meeting him, what are you doing? Are you, you know, the saved people here, are you doing anything? Would you clean up your house? Would you stop doing something? Maybe you wouldn't do something. Maybe you'd stop doing something. If there's something in your life that you know wouldn't be pleasing to Jesus Christ, would you stop doing it? Prepare to meet thy God would be to live your life like Jesus Christ was walking with you side by side. Oh, wait a minute. Jesus Christ is walking with me side by side. It would be like that, but you got to get it into your mind. Be conscious of it. You know, while at a business now, I met a guy who was going to this church at the time. And boy, he had some foul language. I mean, it was out of context. We weren't here. And it was like, you know, blankety blank, blankety blank. And I looked at, you know, like, whoa, wow. Well, that was his real life. It was his fake life here. You know, just somebody passing through our church. But boy, you could tell. Would you talk like you talk if you were in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ? In Hebrews 9:27, as I mentioned earlier, we're given a bit more information about this date that we have that can't be broken. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And it's quite a different appointment has been made for those of us here who are Christians. 1 Thessalonians 5:9 says about us, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." The Bible says in Matthew 24:44, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." So we might meet God because of our untimely death, whatever it is. But we also might meet God this way. Praise the Lord. Even this way is, it says, "in such an hour as ye think not," and he might return, and that's it. Your time's up. No more preparation. You can't do anything else about it. You can't go back and say, "Well, I wanted to do this." Luke 12:20, "But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?" God calling this guy a fool because he didn't prepare in the right manner. He was preparing for his life on earth. He prepared, but he didn't prepare to meet his God. "Thy soul shall be required of thee." Could be any one of us, any moment. So you are a sinner. You have been warned. You will meet God. Are you ready? You had better be ready. prepare to meet thy God. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for showing us these warnings and making them obvious to us. Lord, I pray that you would help other people open up their eyes if they're not seeing it, Lord. Help them, help them. And help us to continue to strive to do better, Lord. I know I fail every single day with this stuff. And Lord, I want to be better at it. And I pray that you would work in my life and work in the lives of everybody here to be more prepared to meet you. Prepare like you are walking by our side. And then, Lord, I pray that you would stay by my side and by our side and just be with us and comfort us and give us peace. In Jesus' name, amen.